Does thinking about the world's problems leave you hopeless? Are you tired of feeling like there's nothing we can do? Well, you're in the right place, because this is the official Building a Better World podcast. And now, here's your host, co-author of Building a Better World in Your Backyard, Instead of Being Angry at Bad Guys, Sean Clausen Coop.
Hello and welcome to episode number 20 of the Building a Better World podcast. My name is Sean Clausen Coop. And I'm so grateful to have you tuning in today to listen to this episode, which I hope will provide you more ideas on how you can build a better world in your backyard instead of being angry at bad guys. In the last episode, I talked about gray water and how if we drastically reduce the amount of material we're sending either into our septic systems or into the sewage treatment plants, then we can drastically reduce our toxic footprints on the environment and allow all of those systems to function so much better. In this episode, I want to continue on that theme and talk about black water and what do we do with material that is super nutrient rich, but comes with some dangers associated with it. So I'm going to talk about that and some ideas and what we can do about it. But before I get into today's topic, I just want to thank again everyone who has purchased the book. I feel like I can't thank you enough for your support and your encouragement, and I hope that the ideas that you have learned have been helpful and inspiring and have been things that have started conversations with others that have hopefully helped to spread these ideas even further. If you haven't read the book yet and you want to take a look, you can learn more at buildingabetterworldbook.com. Okay, so today I want to talk about black water. And black water generally consists of the output from your toilet. Now, some people consider urine to not count as black water, but if it all goes down the same place, down the same pipe, then it'll count as black water. And so we have some options for things that we can do, but first, a refresher on why this is important. Black water, you know, if you have feces in your toilet, that's basically all of the nutrients being expelled from your body. And if you're growing your own food, then you're taking the nutrients off your land and putting them into your toilet eventually. And from your toilet, it's going somewhere else. And you're taking these nutrients and flushing them away. And I think that's a real shame. It would be really nice if we could keep those nutrients and put them to further use on our land, but we have to do so in a way that's safe. And that's an incredibly important thing here that I'm going to do some addressing of, because I think, again, it's just super important to do this right. We don't want anyone getting sick. That would be very much counterproductive to the idea of building a better world. Okay, so I'm going to split this conversation into two bits. We'll call them part one and part two, and they are associated with number one and number two. So first I want to talk about urine. So urine is pretty much ideal plant fertilizer. It has almost the ideal mix of nitrogen and potassium and phosphorus that plants love. And it kind of, I think it's a beautiful reminder that people are meant to be gardeners. Even our urine is meant to help plants grow. And there's a couple of different ways that you can apply the urine. One is to just pee outside. And so that would be peeing in one spot near the base of some plants. Don't pee like everywhere around a plant, because then the plant is forced to take it and it might be too much nutrient. Whereas if you just pee in one spot, then the plants can kind of take how much they want. And if it's too much, then they can still get water or nutrients from an area of the soil where there isn't urine. Women might be listening to this and wondering what they can do about it and saying that, hey, wait a sec, we can't pee outside. And I'll respond by saying I know lots of women who have and do pee outside, and it just takes a little bit more work and, you know, maybe some ingenuity and maybe some extra equipment if that's something that you're interested in. There's lots of conversations around that. And yeah, let's be fair. If you're living in the middle of a city, whether you're a man or a woman or whatever body parts you have, peeing outside might not be a great option for you because you might get some interesting calls from the neighbors and from officers of the law who are there because your neighbors called them. And so another option is inside the house, or to use a urine diverter so that when you use the toilet, then the urine goes into a separate area and you can collect it, and then you can actually dilute it so that it's not too hot for your plants, and then you can have some excellent plant fertilizer for free. And it's important with urine, like urine is very much safe to use. Contrary to maybe popular opinion, it is quite safe to use. But the one thing you don't want to do if you're collecting it in a container is let it sit for like more than 24 hours, because then it's going to start stinking really bad, and we don't want that. So use it sooner than later, and then you can, if you dilute it, then you can apply it to your plants more directly and provide that excellent fertilizer for them. Okay, moving on to number two. When we're talking about poop, we have to be very careful because poop can contain dangerous pathogens. And it's really important that whatever methods we use are ones that are safe. And in our book, Building a Better World in Your Backyard, we compare 10 different strategies for handling poop. And one of them is just a conventional flush toilet going to a sewage treatment plant. One of them is a conventional septic system. And then we have 8 other options, ranging from pooping straight on the ground, which I don't think is a great option, all the way to some other more advanced options. And so we compare these 10 different strategies, and we cover 6 different categories or criteria, including smell. I think we want to have systems that smell better than worse. Cost, let's not have this be incredibly expensive. Health, again, is it safe? How safe is it? And work, like how much work is involved with actually using the system on a daily basis. So I don't have time to get into all 10 categories or strategies at this time, but I am going to go into the 2 that we recommend in our book that are our favorite 2 options. So the first is called a willow feeder, and it's a design that Paul Wheaton, my co-author, came up with. And the design is that underneath the seat, there is a big watertight garbage can, and that receives your deposits. And you're going to include a urine diverter so that none of the urine goes into there. So it's just what's coming out of your behind that's going into the garbage can. And you want to set it up so that it's super close to the hole so that you can't, like, no matter how bad your digestive distress is, you're not going to miss the can. It's going to get in there no problem. And the reason that we're including the urine diverter is that when you mix urine and feces together, it gets super stinky. And then you have a lot of extra moisture, which needs to be taken care of. But if you get most of the urine out of the system, whether that's using a urine diverter or if you just pee outside before you go or whatever, then the bin will fill up much less quickly and it'll also be way less smelly. And so that's kind of a key. And then in the efforts to continue making things not smell, what you want to do is include a vent pipe that's going to go into the garbage can chamber, and then it's going to go out the roof of the structure. And this vent is set up so that the air is pulled from the place where you're sitting, like the little room or what have you, where you're sitting, and it's going to get pulled through the toilet seat and then up into the vent. So it's taking the smells from the room and venting them out, and it taking the smells from the toilet and or from the bin and venting those out. So we don't need to worry about the smell. It's way less smelly. And you can include a fly trap on the end of the vent so that flies can't get in and mess with the poop and put the poop onto people. And there's a couple different ways of using a vent. You could have an electric fan. Paul has employed a strategy that uses what's called the Tram wall. And I won't get into that too much here, but basically it's using the energy from the sun to heat a mass that allows the vent to work throughout the day and throughout the night, even in Montana where he lives. And I've tested the system. I was there and tried it out, and it worked really well. And you could barely smell a thing. I was amazed. Way better than a conventional outhouse. Way, way, way better. So you might be wondering what to do with this bin full of poop that you have and toilet paper. And once it's full, the plan is to seal it off and set it aside in a safe place for 2 years. And after 2 years, 99.999% of the pathogens inside the bin are going to be dead. And then you don't need to worry about that anymore. Now, it's important to note that it's different than a composting toilet. You're not composting the material. It's more like you're trying to dry the material or mummify the material. And so afterwards, like, you're going to see bits of TP. You're going to see some stuff that's looking kind of poopy. But the pathogens are going to be dead. And so you can still use this material. You can now use this material, and it's safe, and it contains a ton of nutrients. And some people would just throw that right on their food crops, and it might be perfectly fine. I personally would prefer to take the extra step of being extra safe and decide to put it on, like, maybe a cottonwood, near a cottonwood or a willow, or plants that do especially well with extra nutrients that I don't plan on eating. And then, you know, that cottonwood can grow up, and eventually I'll cut it down, and then maybe I can use those nutrients in a hugel culture or something like that. And then thus recycling the nutrients through the system. So that's one way of handling our poop that is safe and recycles the nutrients into our own system. And the second option I wanted to mention today is what I would call a dry outhouse. So a conventional outhouse is, like, pretty much the worst thing ever. And also those, like, those chemical outhouses or whatever that they have at events or at construction sites and stuff like that. Those things are also incredibly nasty, and I don't wish to advocate for those. But basically, this is if you take a conventional outhouse and make a few modifications, you can make a huge difference to how it works and how it smells. And so one step is going to be including that urine diverter, like I mentioned before. You're going to have way less material in there and way less smell, and just helps everything overall. And then you can use that urine for other tasks, like helping plants grow. Include a vent, just like with the willow feeder. That way, you know, like, going into an outhouse is just nasty most of the time. But if you include this vent and you have the urine diverter, it can really reduce the amount of smell in there to the point where you can barely smell anything. And it can potentially be a more pleasant smell experience than a conventional bathroom, which can also stink quite bad. And so there's two more pieces. One is that you want to put this structure in a place on your land where water won't be allowed to reach the pit. So you want to put it, like, on a bit of a ridge or a little bit of a rise in the land, where everything is sloped away, so that if any rain falls onto the structure or in the area, it's going to kind of go downhill and not go into the pit of the outhouse. So we want the contents in there to be as dry as possible. And then around the structure, we're going to plant trees that especially like the extra nutrients, trees like cottonwoods and willows, like I said before. And those trees are going to put the roots down into the pit and take up those nutrients and also help deal with the extra moisture. And so by doing this, we can have a very simple setup, and it can allow us to reuse our nutrients in a way that is helpful to our systems and in a way that is safe and in a way that doesn't pollute the groundwater. And so I would love to see more of this kind of stuff, so that we can, decrease the amount of stuff that is being sent to the sewage treatment plants and all of the problems that are associated with that. So this was just a quick overview of some of the ideas that we present in the book. In the book, if you're interested, we have a lot more. We have a nice big chart kind of going into different categories of ways of dealing with poop, and also with our opinion on, you know, how it affects the smell and the cost and the health and all those sorts of things. So if you're interested, you can check that out. In the next episode, I'm going to talk about the chapter that I most enjoyed thinking about and writing about as I was working on my book, and that is the idea of replacing petroleum with people. And I hope that you'll tune in for that one. I'm really excited to record it, and I hope that you will enjoy it too. That's all for today. If you enjoy this show, please hit subscribe, and you'll get notified when more episodes come out. Besides that, just want to thank you for listening and hope that you have a great day. Thanks very much. Bye.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to learn more about building a better world in your backyard, saving money, and living a more luxuriant life, all without being angry at bad guys, please visit buildingabetterworldbook.com.